But I want to ask you a question this morning. I wonder how you've come here this morning. And I wonder what kind of challenges you're facing this morning. Maybe you've got a challenge that's got something to do with money. Or maybe you've got a challenge in a relationship or a friendship. Maybe there's a challenge at work. Maybe there is no work and that's the challenge. Maybe it's a little bit more personal than that. Maybe it's a challenge that's within you. Maybe it's your self-esteem or your self-worth. Maybe it's even how you think about God. You know, we've been going through a series of 1 Corinthians this last term. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15 this morning. But I want to say this. Whatever your challenge is this morning, and we're all challenged, how we respond to those challenges says a lot about what we believe about God and what we believe about the resurrection. Because the story that you believe shapes the life that you live. And we all need to live better stories. So I don't know if you've got Bibles with you. If you have, I'm going to open up at 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to read verses 1 to 19. Okay. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of them whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me. Whether then it is I or they, so we preach and so you believed. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, not even Christ, sorry, that for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are all people who must be pitied. Okay, the whole story of Paul's letter to the church in Corinth comes from the fact that they had become confused about what they believed. And as I said at the beginning, the story that we believe shapes the life that we live. You know, Corinth was a wealthy city. It was a major trading center, but it also had a reputation as a place of depravity and little moral fortitude. In fact, in those times, if you were from Corinth, you were known as someone who worked hard and played hard. Probably playing more than working, actually. And what's happened here is that somehow the ideology and the beliefs of God's people have somehow become influenced and affected by Corinth's prevalent culture. A culture that believed that there was no bodily resurrection of the dead. Sure, you know what? They believed that the soul had the capacity to live forever, but they didn't believe the body would be raised to life. It was this philosophy that drove the people of Corinth to want to enjoy all the pleasures of life and to enjoy them there and then. And that was beginning to happen to the church. They still believed in Jesus. They knew the good news, but they'd become really distracted and spiritually mixed up about what that meant. And right at the heart of this spiritual mixed-upness was what they believed about the resurrection. They stopped believing in the actual resurrection of the body. And so the story that they believed was shaping how they lived. Because they didn't believe in the physical resurrection, they were engaging in all sorts of behaviours that we've heard about as we've gone through this series in 1 Corinthians. They were engaged in widespread sexual immorality. They were taking legal action and lawsuits against each other. People had exaggerated senses of their own self-importance and arrogance, and elitism was starting to emerge, and division. They weren't exercising the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they weren't loving each other. The prevailing culture had really taken hold of the church in Corinth, and that's why Paul took them right back to the beginning. He brings them back to the original story of Jesus' death and resurrection. He brings it straight back so it's forefront in their minds. So if we want to live better stories, we need to do what Paul did. We need to take everything back, we need to strip it all away, and we need to keep getting back to the original story. You know, in the passage we've read, that's what Paul's doing. He takes the church right back to the start, to the original story they knew and they believed. The story of a God of love. The story of a God who created to have a relationship with us. The God who mankind rejected and so that we could do our own thing. The God who loved us so much that he came down from heaven, came in the form of a man and shared life with us. Who told us what God was like by the way he lived. And he showed us what God was like through the incredible miracles that he performed. And in fact told us that he was in fact God. And he demonstrated and confirmed this by dying on a cross and coming back to life by being resurrected. So that's what Paul's doing in the passage that we've read. He causes a story they first heard to awaken again, to rise up within them. Christ was crucified. Christ died and Christ was buried and he rose again. And you know what? It's such an important reminder. Because if we fail to remember the story, the noise of the world out there is so loud that we can lose sight sometimes of who we are. And we can lose sight of our unique place in God's bigger story. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're surrounded by people at home or work or college or school. People who don't actually believe in Jesus. And what we can easily find ourselves happening is that we start to doubt the thing that we believe in. You know, I think about some of the conversations that go on and in and around me at work and kind of how I try to respond to those conversations and try to kind of keep a godly perspective on those conversations. And people around me tell me that the choices that I'm making are nonsense and that Jesus is nonsense and God is nonsense. But actually, you know what? We don't believe that it's nonsense. We believe that everything about Jesus is true. That he took the punishment. That he took all the pain, all the suffering, all the rejection that was rightfully ours. He bore the weight of all our sin and shame and was obedient. Obedient to the will of his Father. Obedience that led to death on the cross. Where he defeated death. The enemy of life. And that defeat was seen for the first time when he rose again on that first Easter Sunday. But you know what? If we don't believe that, as Paul says, we might as well just pack up, go home, because we're wasting our time. And Paul says in the second part of the passage that I read, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then we are still in our sins. The resurrection of Jesus was absolute, living, breathing, walking proof that Jesus had the power to forgive sins because he was God. And no resurrection equals no forgiveness. All the guilt, all of the shame from the mistakes we've made in the past, all of the stuff that we've done wrong, If Jesus was not raised from the dead, then we are still in those sins. And if Jesus was not raised from the dead, all of us being here is a complete waste of time. You know, the choices I make reflect the life and reflect the story that I believe in to be true. The story I believe shapes the way I live. Don't always get it right, but it's shaping it. You know, but if that story is not true, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, you know, I could spend my time doing something else. And Paul says, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, our faith would be useless, a pointless waste of time based on something that simply isn't true. And you know, our whole lives would be different. I dread to think what my life would be like, actually, if I didn't believe that story, that Jesus had died and had risen again, and how that shaped my life. Because my faith is in Jesus, the Son of God. And the whole purpose of my life is based on the fact that I am loved by my Heavenly Father, who sent his Son, who took all my guilt, who took all my shame, who took my punishment by dying on the cross for me and defeated death when he was raised from the dead. The resurrection is the foundation of my life, and it's the foundation of the Christian faith, and it's the foundation that that faith is built upon. And the resurrection is the foundation on which the whole world depends on. Without the resurrection, there's no future. This is it. Without it, when we die, that's it. There's nothing else. And Paul says, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then we can't be raised from the dead. And if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, therefore we have no hope. But my life is built. My life is established on the belief that Jesus was physically raised from the dead. And that one day, because death has been defeated, I too will be raised from the dead. And the story of my life is being shaped by the story I believe. And like you, I make sacrifices because of that story, because of what I believe. There's things I choose not to do. There's places I choose not to go to. Yet so often and so easily, it's easy to believe the lies of the enemy that he comes and tells us. And that's what was happening at the church in Corinth. That's why Paul reminded them of their story. He took them right back to the beginning. And it was a familiar pattern in the Old and New Testaments. People were constantly being reminded of the story. And they're constantly being retold the story. And sometimes we think we've got it. Sometimes we think we understand it. But actually, we just need to be reminded. When I was at university, I did a community play and youth work course. More play, to be honest with you, than work, but that was okay. But we did a lecture on community engagement. And we were given a sheet of A4 paper with the explanation of the task, split into groups. And then we did our work, and then each group had to feed back. And as each group fed back, one of the lecturers said, what you didn't talk about was community consultation. And literally every group that fed back didn't mention it. And each time the lecturer went, you didn't mention community consultation. And I was getting so fed up with the fact that the lecturer kept saying, I put my hand up, I said, look, what's your point? And she got offended by it, unsurprisingly, because of the way I did it. What's your point? We understand it. We get it. We know we have to do community consultation. What you've given us on this sheet of paper is community consultation. What is your point? And she came back at me and she said, the point is that if I don't remind you, when you get out there and when you do it, you won't live it and you won't deliver community consultation. And that's what's happening here with Paul. We could ask, what's the point? But the point is that if we don't keep hearing the story, we quickly forget it. And we need to keep reminding ourselves of the story. We need to know the story because it firmly plants us into who we are in Jesus and who we are in his big story. It reminds us of our future because the story we believe shapes the life that we live. And this morning you may be sitting there and you may have believed some of the lies of the enemy. The lies that say that I'm not good enough. Lies that say that God could never forgive me or God could never love me. Lies that say that God could never use me to do that thing or to do that other thing. And sometimes you just need someone to come along and set us straight. You know, the Corinthian church had believed the lie. They believed there was no resurrection. And that's what Paul came and did. He came to them and he set them straight. And he got them back on track with Jesus. So we need to know the story, but we need to also live the story, because the story we believe shapes the life that we live. I believe that the resurrection was true. It changes everything. It means that we believe that we're forgiven. It means that we believe that we can be released from guilt and from shame. Everything that we've done in the past that holds us and restricts us and lies to us, we believe that God can set us free because of the resurrection. And you know, and it means that we can live our lives with purpose and hope. You know, some people in here who've lived some and lived through some really painful experiences, serious health issues. Some of us have experienced death at very close proximity. For me, it was the death of my daughter, who died at 72 hours old. And it was a while ago, but at the time, people asked me, how can you be a Christian? How can you believe in God? And I remember at the time just saying to them, how can I not believe in God when things like this happen? How can I not believe in God? Because otherwise, life has no purpose. Life has no meaning. You know, I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. And I said to them, because I know that, I know that my daughter will be resurrected and I will see her again. You know, because it's true, isn't it? We know that death is not the end. And that's the power. That's the power of the resurrection. And that's the same power that's at work in us today. And that's what Paul was talking about. That's why it was so important to remind the Corinthian church. And that's why it's so important for us to be reminded today. Because the resurrection shapes the story by which we live our lives. This morning, do you believe that's true? Sorry, I'm going to have to ask you again. Do you believe that's true?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And believing that it's true means that we live differently. We can live lives free from shame and guilt. You know, I just think of the story of Peter, who said to Jesus, I'll never deny you. And then when the first opportunity came, he denied him. And Peter just carried that guilt and that shame and that self-disappointment. And yet, one of the first people that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection was Peter. And you know what? Jesus absolutely loves us despite our shame. He loves us so much that he wants to set us free. He loves us so much that he wants to heal us of our pain. And he loves us so much that he wants to restore us. Jesus wants you to be set free this morning. Jesus wants you to know that you're forgiven because of the resurrection. Because Jesus died on the cross, because he was resurrected, we can know real freedom. And it also means that we can live our lives full of purpose and meaning. You know, the world out there is shouting at the top of its voice, shouting that Jesus isn't alive, that the Christian faith is irrelevant, and the church is dying, and the belief in God is a waste of time. But you know what? I say to the world this morning, that faith, our faith is not a waste of time. You know, we sang, the world cannot ignore it. We carry the message of hope for a lost and broken world. People are desperate for their lives to have meaning. People are desperate for their lives to have purpose. People are desperate for a hope for a future. And people, as we said, has been said this morning, people are scared to death of death. But Jesus, by being resurrected, has defeated death. We have purpose. We have hope. The way we live our life makes a difference. The story we believe that shapes our lives sends a message to the world that the resurrection, that Jesus is as relevant in 2018 as he's ever been. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything. Amen.